Okay, good morning, everybody. Some of you I haven't seen too long ago. Okay, we're on page Kuf. We just finished Kuf Mem Zion, and we're at the top of Kuf Mem Ches. We're dealing with the three levels of understanding this concept of being close to Hashem as your goal in life and as the focal point of everything you do in life. So we're in the first type of people who really can not only know, but they feel this understanding that the goal of life is connecting to Hashem. And whenever they talk about this topic, it's just like a lullaby for them. It's just like, it's music to their ears. No different than a person who eats every day, and he's never bored with eating every day. So just like people who love sports, they're never bored with sports, and they're listening to it all every day. And in sports especially, like, they show you the replays, like you just saw it. Why are they showing it again? They show you from three different angles. And you know, from the goalie's point of view, from the other point of view. It's the same goal. You're gonna see the same again, but obviously they're not doing it unless people want to watch it. So if there's something you like to watch, you don't mind watching it again. So on the second paragraph on page Kuf Mem Ches. This is a level of a person who already feels in his heart that Hashem is everything. And your entire desire, or basically majority of your desire, is that you are yearning to cleave to your Creator. So such a person will certainly take pleasure in hearing the truth, hearing words of truth. Because the inner emes of a person longs to connect to the truth. And the simplicity of these words that are true is a joy to the heart. And for example, Yaakov Avinu Nikra Ish Tam. Our patriarch Yaakov was called a man of Tam, simplicity. Or wholesomeness, better. Because wholesomeness loves simplicity. Even these things are well known. You can see this by young children. A very nice analogy. Tell a young child a story. Bedtime story. And they ask you to tell a story again and again. Now, some of us think because they're just very immature and they like to hear it again. Without exaggeration, they can listen to one story 100 times. Oh, it's my favorite story. So, they know it by heart. As Kala brought them every single detail. And when you're reading the story, they may be saying the next part before you even get to it. But still, no, they want to hear it again. So, why is that so? Because the simplicity of the child, the wholesomeness from which he comes from, loves to review things that are beloved. And that's a simple answer. And it's not because they're lacking. Remember, children have a tremendous degree of honesty that adults don't have. Right? And you know that. And sometimes they embarrass you with their honesty. They honestly answer things without, you know, being taught sophistication and diplomacy and things like that. Because they're Emma's kids. They're closer to the time when they were in the womb of their mother, when they understood life as the real reality was. So if something is true, and now, you know, psychologists may say all other kinds of things. You know, kids love stability in life. And if something, the story they know, they're comfortable and all those things, which could all be true as well. But the bottom line is, it all stems from an neshama that wants simplicity and not all the complications of life. And therefore you see that there's nothing wrong with a person not enjoying that which what they already know. Now you see, this gets us onto a topic that is a very interesting topic. You know, when we learn, what is the one part of learning that everybody doesn't like to do? Chazara, review. Nobody wants to review. Because I remember when I was a kid in school, we learned Gemara, and then the Rebbe said, okay, boys, this week is Chazara week. And it was like hell. Like nobody wanted to come to school. We already did it already. It's just, so, and you know what the Gemara says? Gemara says, anyone who learns and does not review is compared to what? Compared to someone who plants and doesn't harvest. It's come to someone who plants and doesn't harvest. Meaning you don't end up with nothing. You're not going to retain any of the information if you don't review it. So why aren't people wanting to review? Because, you know what? We're not connected yet to Hashem in the deepest way. If you're connected to Hashem in the deepest way, you'll watch reviews also. You'll do the review. Notwithstanding the fact you'll understand it better, you know it better, you'll get to deeper levels of understanding. But the simple thing is, what does it matter one part of Torah or the other? What does it matter one part of Torah or the other? It's all Torah. It's all what connects you to Hashem. And if anything, when you review Torah, you will understand that Torah more. We go through the Torah portion every year. We review that. Once a year we have to review the Torah. Any aspect of learning has to be reviewed over and over. And it shouldn't be considered a bother, a boring activity. You know, we should try to go back to the level of the children. And the truth is, it's not because we end up any better. Because you ask people a year or two later, what did you learn? They don't remember. They don't remember. So you don't end up with anything anyway. So it all stems from this problem that we're not feeling this closeness to Hashem when we are learning. Now, continuing. When a person can reach a level of simplicity in regard to his closest Hashem, the simplicity of words, a person is willing to hear many, many times. Even 100 times. And it's true, tried, and tested. For anyone who has gone through this process, they understand this. Right? Again, no different. Kids listening to music, you hear the same song over and over, over and over. Aren't you bored with the same song? No, it's cool. Yeah, it's great, you know. So why? You know, that's the way it is. You know, if something you like, you're willing to have many times. Okay, Zoom Madrigach. This is the first level. Level 2 only gets one paragraph. Hamadrigach Shnihi, Adam Shikar is Emes Pesichlo. Person recognizes the truth in his mind. But doesn't really feel in his heart. That person specifically needs hadracha, needs guidance, how to move these words from the world of knowledge to the world of the heart, to apprehension of the heart. That person needs guidance and how to make this transition. And that's what this book is all about. But there's a third level, and that is this person doesn't understand what the big deal is about this point. Why are we making such a big deal about it? He figures to himself, okay, it's true. It's a true point. Okay, I agree, it's a true point. But cease, it's a fundamental point. But you know what? If I'm here to Hashem, I'll learn a lot of Torah, I'll do a lot of mitzvahs, I'll work on my midos, and then I will get to the goal. And I don't have to read a book that's teaching me how to do this. What's the big deal about it? It's going to come automatically. Next page. So the person doesn't even have the recognition of the mind, how important it is. So on Kuf Mem Tes, Eitzel Adam Kazeh HaBechirahi, so for such a person, the choice is as follows. You got to go over all these ideas from the beginning to the end and review all this. You got to daven to Hashem that He will direct you to truth and you'll understand how important this is. And if at this point he can reach this true point of inflaming himself to a life of closeness to Hashem, that's good. Because at least he got to the second level. He's saying, you got one or two choices. You got to really work hard in Davin Hashem that you can at least appreciate this concept intellectually. To hear the idea, okay, I hear the idea, but I can't feel it. To Davin Hashem to get you to level 2. And he's talking about a lot of Orthodox Jews now who are on level 3, obviously. If you still don't get it, you're not going to benefit much from what I have to write in this book. So it's one of these stopping points where it says, you know, you're better off not learning this book. This inner point, we're going to repeat over and over and over. You pratim lakan, but pratim lakan, there'll be details here, details there. But everything revolves around that inner point. How to get close to Hashem. How to live with God with simplicity. And we're going to keep talking and talking and talking about this, and we'll make a big deal about it. And if you can't see the big deal about it, then you're not gonna get anything out of reading about it. If you're not interested in the idea, learning about it isn't gonna get you more excited about this idea. Right? So he always, as we said, from time to time, tries to either discourage you from continue learning or really showing, you know, how far you may be and how you have to really work hard to get there. So Vade Sheshem Yechidim Shetzrichim Kfar Lishmo Nekudas Acheres. So there might be certain individuals that need to hear new points. And you want to hear more new points. But the point that pertains in general is to begin to feel Hashem truthfully, not just at certain times, and certainly not the opposite, that only when times are difficult. That's certainly not the time to say that my Yiddishkeit revolves around Hashem only when times are hard. But the simplicity of life is to always go with Hashem at all times. Okay. Now, he will now, in the next, till the end of the chapter, he will acknowledge how difficult imparting this wisdom is. Tamu ru'u ki tov Hashem. Taste and see that Hashem is good. Yesh na memra ha-nemaris b'shem ha-gon rav Arye Leib me'alin, or Molin. I don't know how to pronounce that last name. Molin. There's a statement said by the great rabbi. I usually know a lot of rabbis. I never heard of this one. Reb Arye Leib Molin. Shepam boilav bacher rishola sol sfaral belimud. So one time a bacher in the yeshiva comes to him and asks him to understand the logic of a piece of Talmud that he's learning. He's talking and learning with him. So a concept, you know, whatever kind of concept it could be in the Rambam, trying to figure out these concepts of why people stealing pay certain amounts and not more amounts. I'm trying to understand the logic. Nisa gon lahazbal lakan lakan. So the great rabbi's explaining him this way, kid's not getting it. Explaining him that way, the kid's not getting it. He's trying multiple ways to explain it to the kid. Vlola hoil didn't help. Lachar kamen nisyonis la'aslacha. After many unsuccessful attempts. Amala graal es ha-mishpat haba. So the rabbi said the following statement. I could try to explain to you from this angle, from that angle, forwards, backwards, up or down. Maybe you'll understand it. But my mind, my comprehension and my grasp, and we're not talking about sharpness of memory, but clarity of concept. I can't give you my mind. In other words, the rabbi, he sees the whole gestalt of the Gemara. He like understands everything with such crystal clarity. And that's already a mindset that's in the head. He said, I can communicate to you what the concepts are, but I can't give you my brain. I can't give you the clarity that I have. That clarity I can't give you. It's here. It can come from years of understanding Gemara, of working on Gemara, etc., etc. But that real clarity, just I can't just make a mind meld and put my mind into your mind. If you could have my mind, then you really would get it. So that much I can't impart to you. I can explain to you the concepts, but you know the clarity of mind that's there. You know, that I can't pass on to you. So how does that fit in? You'll see in a second. So, you know, and that's sometimes in a lot of situations. You know, it's not only in Gemara. It could be in understanding life situations and dealing with conflict and things like this, where you can explain to somebody something, but the feelings just, they can't get the feelings that are behind everything here. And they're not getting the idea. They don't understand the lay of the land. So Gon Reb Shimshon Pinkas Satzal, he gave pamachas lachas a yeshivas umoser vad lebechurim. So one time, Reb Shimshon Pinkas of blessed memory, he once came to a different yeshiva, a certain yeshiva, and he was giving a little group a lesson to some boys. V'soch tvorach amalam kach. So he's teaching them about God and all this stuff. He's trying to explain it. guess to younger fellows. And they're not getting it. So he says the following. I can keep talking to you. You got to believe one thing. If you understood and really felt this concept of a person who lives with Hashem, if you understood this idea, you'd be running after me for me to explain to you how to get there. If you really could understand this. Next page. But you don't understand what kind of darkness you're living in. What you're missing. So far away you are from the truth. Tamaru, you have to taste and see Kitov Hashem, that Hashem is good. You guys are so far. I have no idea what kind of Bacham he's talking about over here. But we could, you could figure out. You can imagine, you know, Bacham who are into sports and into music and into secular music, all these things, and they, that's cool and that's great and everything. Now start talking to them about how wonderful it is to be close to Hashem. And I said, well, that's weird. It's crazy, you know. And he tries to explain to them. He says, I can talk all day long to you. I can keep giving all kinds of analogies, explanations, this and this. You know, but the bottom line is, if you really understood how important it was, you'd be running after me to figure out ways how to get it. And he said a little bit more. But you should know. Even if you were to ask for me, let's see, you want to know, okay, so I really want to know how to get close to Hashem. I'm not capable. Hashem has not given me the ability to give you even a little bit of a true taste of what this closeness to Hashem tastes like. You can't pass on the taste. You know, go explain to a person who's never eaten a steak smothered in gravy and onions, telling him how good it tastes. If that's what you like. Okay? Explain to someone who never had a steak in their life how good it is and how much it tastes. You can't explain it to them. They can't get it. Okay, so this is beyond understanding this. It's a very powerful line here. There are people, for every person, there are times, unique times of spiritual growth where a person senses an elevated bearing and a spiritual pleasure. For whom midamien la'atzmo, and he figures for himself, Shekiris Hashem hakavon elich yos kach kol hazman. And he figures, you know what being close to Hashem is? It means living this way all the time. That's what they think Kiris Hashem is. Okay? So, now, don't get me wrong, what I'm going to say next, okay? You know, like, for example, you have a beautiful musaf, and you're really flying. And that's a good experience to have. I'm not saying that's not you should have. Figure, being close to Hashem must feel like this all the time. So he's going to say, no. Next paragraph. He says, V'yeshel edi, you got to know. Shlomi nevel mitzasei. That's not it, and not even a little bit of it. None of that is what we're talking about in terms of Kirvas Hashem. That's not it. Kirvas Hashem hu olam acher me'amusogim shanoshim makirim. Closeness to Hashem is a different concept at all of what people are used to and recognizing. Kol echad yachol lichyos sham. Anyone is capable of living in that reality, and God forbid, there are people who are not capable of, you know, to live in a different reality. The person has to make a decision to have clear in his mind, does he want to enter the world of Hashem in his heart truly or not? As it says, in my heart I will build a sanctuary. Lichyos is to live in truth. You got to really want to live in a true reality. Not with external feelings of being close to Hashem. Living with the letters of Hashem. But Hashem has to be found in his heart. He says, that's what you have to have. In other words, there are, as we talked about earlier in the book, there are times of arousal. And that's a good thing. Arousal wakes you up. And says, you know what? This was such a good feeling. Can you imagine if I was really close to Hashem, how it would feel? You know, in other words, it gives you hope that there is something called spirituality out there, and that one day you will really feel this, and that will motivate you. and that's a wonderful thing. But you know, you get those moments, those precious little moments. You know, you see a little baby boy that's born, or girl that's born. You know, wow, and you get that, you know, warm and fuzzy feeling. You know, but that's not living with Hashem. That's not the real thing. It's just a taste of it. It's an excitement. The neshama gets aroused. We're not denying the neshama gets aroused. But that's not what we're talking about, just arousal. We're talking about living in this reality. And there's people who can, you know, have the greatest spiritual moment in the second, next minute to an Avera. What's going on? Kamamish, you're a beautiful Musaf, and right after Musaf, you know, not make a brach on the food at Kiddush and talk Lashon Hara. So what happened? And you say it was a great Musaf. And it was. And it's an important thing to have good Musafs. And that's part of your Avodas Hashem. But quite often it's in the vacuum of, you know, coming into it. It's a big difference coming into it with a closest Hashem than not living with closest Hashem and just having a great experience. So there's the big difference. That the person has to really, you know, go over this simple concept of I want to be close to Hashem and I want my life to be that way. Now again, I know this is not satisfying to anybody. It's impossible to explain the feeling of closeness to Hashem for someone who hasn't reached it. But it's required from us at this point is a faith in the pathways that all tzaddikim have traveled upon, and they have reached this point and reached this feeling. That's amazing. There's enough holy people in this world who have instructed even regular people that this is the best way of life to go. And you will enjoy it far more than anything else. And you don't feel it. You don't taste how good a steak is. You got to trust people. If everybody who has eaten a steak says it's really good, so you have to believe that it's good. And until you're going to taste it, you're not going to appreciate how good it is. So that's the same thing over here. You have to have a belief in this system that it works, and you will experience life in a way beyond how you've experienced beforehand. Harav HaKadosh Rav Moshe Mekobrin, Hispate Pam. The Tzaddik Rav Moshe Mekobrin once expressed it this way. There are people that are balei taiva, lustful people. Lustful people, and they're not, you know, they're not necessarily the most spiritually inclined. But if these lustful people would really understand the taste of the truest lust, in other words, if they could really taste closeness to Hashem, if they would have gotten a good dose of the emes, the real tasting of Hashem, if they really could recognize the true pleasure that is hidden in closeness to Hashem, they'd leave every pleasure of the world. They'd run after closeness to Hashem with all their might and effort. People who love to eat steaks and love to have this pleasure and that pleasure and every other pleasure, if they really knew what closeness to Hashem was, they'd be running after it. Because it's qualitatively beyond any other pleasure you've ever had in your life. And the truth is very simple and clear point. Kikol ha'avos, all the loves that we are really having, hem besach hakol nefilos shel olam ahava miti. They are fallings from the world of true love, shu'avas Hashem, which is the love of Hashem. We talked about this concept a while ago, the idea of ahava nefula, fallen love. In other words, there's a concept of love, and it's a God-given feeling that exists. It's a God-given characteristic. It's how God operates in this world. He operates with love. And we have deep in our souls the ability to love the way God wants us to love. Any other love that comes out of a person that doesn't emanate from closeness to Hashem, it's all a love that's a misdirected kind of love. It's not the truest kind of love. And we kind of said it in last night's class. Seems like everything that I'm teaching is overlapping over here. But, you know, when we talked about, you know, love, right? So when we all define love as, you know, how I feel when I get something. And that's how 99% of people understand love. And that's not love. That's selfishness. It's a misdirected love. And how we explained last night how people, when they first get married, and they say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And it's a joke. It's I love me, I love me, I love me, and you provide that for me. And that's an avin of fool. That's a fallen love. It's a misdirected love. Not to say that you have to marry somebody and you have to love that person. But that's not a real love. You can go through your whole life saying that you love somebody, but that's not really the real thing. It's love in a misdirected way. And ultimately, there become issues with that. So, but the real only true love is a love of Hashem. And a love of Hashem, which comes from being connected to Hashem and feeling Hashem in your life and having that overpower everything that is, and that you become, you surrender your reality into God's reality and you bond totally with that understanding of Hashem. That is the truest love. And any other, this is really, it can depress you if you think about this too much. Or it should inspire you to say, I might as well get to the real thing finally. He's saying, if you don't really love Hashem the way you were meant to love Hashem, and you really, really, really don't bond with Hashem the way you're supposed to bond with Hashem, you're never really capable of what we call true, true love. Because true love can only come when you understand what loving Hashem is all about. Right? This is the way that God created the world. As long as you find yourself on the outside, it's impossible to find even a little bit of this inner spirituality that we're talking about. This is not possible. And that's what I was trying to hammer in yesterday in the class. That you have the luchas on the right side, the luchas on the left side. The right side, the left side. If you can't fulfill what's on the right side, you can never fulfill what's on the left side. It's not possible. I don't know if people got that last night. They were listening. I don't know if they got it. If you can't get the right side, you can't get the left side. It's just not possible. The source of everything on the left side is based on the right side. So you can't believe in Hashem, you can't love other people, you're going to kill other people. Right? So that's what he's saying. Your whole life is a superficial gloss over life if you're not able to really understand this closeness to Hashem that we're talking about. So how am I going to get there? I haven't felt it too often, or if at all. So how are you going to get to this inner spiritual core of life? Oh, in only one way, it's through good old-fashioned faith. The person truly has this faith, you believe what all the great rabbis have told us, that it's achievable, and you can feel it. And what their students have said, and their great students of the Baal Shem Tov and other people. If you can believe what the Chazon Ish has said. I mean, these are holy people that have told us things. It's possible for a person to reach a level mamish of like being an angel. We're going to Sipurim. At certain moments, we can reach such levels. In this world, you can mamish live like an angel. But you can't attempt to explain, these feelings. You can't try to explain this with regular feelings. Im yachush adam, if a person can feel lo bidimyonos, not with imagination, lo bargushus rofafos, with loose feelings that are fluttery kinds of feelings, el bamuchash, but really feeling it. Bargusha pshuta, with a simple feeling. Shikamoshu margis shulmas, like he said, just like you can feel this table. You can feel like you're an angel. Kach Margish was Baruch Shalom. You can mamish feel Hashem. It's possible to feel Hashem like you feel a table. Im Adam Yamel Kach. A person believes that. V'yachlid Limsor Eschayev Laman Matarzu, and he's willing to devote his life for this goal. Hu Yetzei Me'olam Shal Choshech Olam Shal Or. You will leave the world of darkness and enter the world of lightness. That's what you do, but you have to believe that this exists, and you're going to do these boring exercises on a regular basis, over and over and over. And again, if you don't do the exercises, it ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. You got to. I keep thinking to myself, you got to push you guys and myself to do more of the exercises and to ask, have you done it? Have you done it? Why haven't you done it? What can you do to it? Because I see that when I do them, you do begin to feel certain differences. You begin to see certain changes in personality that exists. You begin to see a certain more calmness of nature, which is, the first steps of feeling this. So this idea of being able to reach, so this is the tricky part. You're going towards a goal that you haven't tasted the result yet. And it's a goal that takes years to achieve. So you can understand why people don't make this goal. And you try it a few times, it doesn't work, and goodbye. Just like anything else in life, you know. Being able to master Hebrew, being able to master learning Gemara, being able to master Rambam, right? So last year we had 50 guys on Rambam. It was cool. It was great. It lasted for 5 weeks, and that's it. Now we're down to the hardcore, the 10, 12, 15 guys who, you know, they're like, you know, mules. We're just going to go forward. Just go. You know, hopefully the rabbi's telling us the truth. You know, and to get into that world where you get that breakthrough, where you develop the Talmudic mind. It's a Talmudic mind. You know, it's a Gemara cup. It's not a Goyish cup. It's like a Gemara cup. It's like having a Torah head. So it's something you have to work on to get to this thing. So, and the difference between living in that reality now is day and night. Right? Im yesh adam shadai mesubuk v'varim, is a person who's still in doubt of what we're saying, to prove this point and the truth of it, it's not possible. But what's one thing we could ask? You know what he's going to say? Lamano, Laman Knesset Yisrael, Laman Lasus Nachas Ruach LeYisrael. For your own sake, for his, he's talking to the other third person, for his sake, and for the sake of the congregation of Israel, and for the sake of giving pleasure to his Creator. You should every day cry to Hashem every hour and beg from Him that He can direct you to the truth. That you can do. You can daven Hashem for this. At least once a day, you should say to Hashem, like we said in the book, say, Hashem, I want to give you pleasure. Please help me understand this. I want to get this. If you really supplicate and you really, really want it, Hashem will help you to reach this goal, to be able to give Him pleasure all the days of your life. But you got to, Mamish, ask for it and cry for it. If you don't cry for it, that means you think that other things are more important. Okay, so on that sober note, we begin the next chapter, Perek Tes Vav, which takes everything we did in this chapter and multiplies it five times more. Multiplies it five times more with some good insights over here. He comes back to a concept we spoke about earlier in the book, but now he develops it a step deeper. And it's called Koach HaRatzon, the power of desire, where we're told, Ein davar omid b'tnei ratzon ha'pnimi keshu begilui. Nothing can stand in front of a true inner desire when it is revealed. So we start. See if we can get this two pages in. Someone who's living a little bit with the truth and finds himself in the truth, he reaches a certain recognition, which is what? The truth is, there isn't a lot you can do in this world to accomplish. There really isn't that much to do. What is he saying? What does he mean? The wheel keeps turning. It turns from here to there. Here to there. What does he mean to say? Kamashi Yeshkan, whatever we have over here, Zeh Osos Man, Osom Kochas Anefesh, Shadam Maktish Shekarish Baruch. Zeh Adavar Yachid Shinishi Bechaim. When all is said and done, what's left with life? We have, you know, this time and these spiritual strengths that a person dedicates to Hashem. Really, that's all you have in life. Zula said, everything else, Hakol Dimin, everything is just imagination. Tvar Mechol, from things that come and go, nothing permanent. Shemikcha Ketzas, Sheketzas Pikeach Esenov. Anybody who's opened up his eyes a little bit, Kfareino Motzavim Tam, he doesn't really have any taste anymore. Vinyeshbam Tam, and if he has a taste in these superficial things, Zel Tam Rigei Shepinimius HaNefesh in the Senes L'Arech. It's a temporary taste that the inner soul, you know, doesn't really give it much value. Ein ze ela tam shaguf zakuk lo shugei lahir giyav lim solasma purkan. It's a little taste that the body needs to feel a little rest, so to speak, to satisfy the body a little bit. Avo mitzad mishkal nefesh, but in terms of the soul, rak osim zmanim v'osim chalkei nefesh ha-mushkoim b'chipush achar kadosh baruch hu, Heim v'rake mashe shalorom be'emes b'chayov. Only those moments where the soul is mamish, absorbed in search of God. Only those are the true moments of a person's life. Vizulas, and besides that, mashiach shu b'nei adam lotov, anything else that a person thinks is good, he's re-quoting the words of the Mesillas Yesharim. Ein ela havel v'shav nita, it's only foolishness and a mistake. It's not it. Right? Everything else is narishkeit. You know. Like, you know, when I was young, I used to like to play board games. You know, you're like, Monopoly, not shayach. You know? And there's many adults who still, you know, take it seriously. You know? I distaste it. I just can't play board games anymore. It's just an Irish kind. You know? Chess, all these things, you know? I said, what am I wasting my time with this? Okay, kids say, I want to play chess. Okay, so I love my son. So, okay, I'll play chess with him. You know, and I'll even try, but it's not interested in it. It's nothing. You know, going to a basketball game, it's nothing. You know, if you mature a little bit, you know, what is there in life? You know, there's not that many things in life. When you boil it down, there's only one thing. Not that it's bad, but it's just very simple and straight. You know, am I living close to Hashem? Am I not living close to Hashem? Everything else that I have to do, okay, I have a body, you know, so, you know, you gotta eat, you know, but, you know, you're not gonna spend hours eating. You know, tzaddikim never spent hours eating. Not that they didn't have the ability to spend hours eating. They said, what am I, you know, I gotta do what I gotta do. The body needs to eat. All right, you know, give it 10, 15 minutes. And the body has to have something to eat, so I'll eat. And I'll live with Hashem while I'm eating. And I see all these kinds of stories of great tzaddikim. You know, I forgot which tzaddik it was. I forgot the tzaddik. He was mamish always with Hashem, and his wife mamish made his meals and took care of the food and everything. So one time, the Rebbetzin had to go out at night. She couldn't be there for dinner. So she tells us, and listen, dear, I've got the food. It's on the stove. All you got to do is warm up. Just turn on the oven, dear. Just turn it on and eat it. And the plates, everything's that. Just put it out. And so wife made one major mistake. There were two pots on the stove. One was dinner, and one was the chulin pot that was soaking in soap water. So she figured she wouldn't have to tell him which one of the two pots. That much she figured her husband was still in this world. So the husband, so she comes home at the end of the night. She sees that the chulin pot is in the sink and the dinner is on the stove. She turns to her husband and says, so what was the dinner? He says, it was amazing. His mom, she tasted so good. He says, what did you eat? I had the pot was on the stove. It was amazing. And he meant it. He wasn't lying. Why? Because when you're living with Hashem, I don't want to get into all this mystical stuff. When you're living with Hashem, you're not eating the food. You're eating the sparks of holiness that are contained within the food. So the sparks of holiness in water is sparks of holiness too. They're not even focused on taste anymore. So okay, that's extreme, and of course we can't be on that level today.
No.
Right? But in other words, there's nothing else that they're preoccupied with. Because when you look at everything, all the different exciting things in life, you say it's a narishkeit. Omnom, truly, hayetzahara minasa lashkich zos psecharam. He tries to get us to forget this. Vafilu im besichlo zohar zos arvin. Even in a person's mind, the guy knows, that is a narishkeit, it's a waste of time. Ach beleva davar nekeim, but in his heart, he doesn't feel it that way. Avo be'emes ritzon neshamahu, the goal of the soul, what does the soul want? Simple. As it says before the Jews got the Torah at Sinai, Ritzoneinu lasos ritzoncho. Our desire is to do your desire. Ratzon l'kirvas Hashem. My desire is to get close to Hashem. Ratzon l'dveikas b'kutcha b'richu. My desire is to cling to Hashem. Ratzon lasos nachas ruach l'vayir. And my desire is to give pleasure to my Creator. Zeh ratzon apnimi mishal neshama. That is the inner desire of the soul. Elamai, but what? What's the problem? Shaneshama nimseis behelam b'situm. The soul is hidden. It's closed up. Vilu begili, if it was revealed, b'levad, if it was revealed in the heart of a person, shom yeshnam ritzonos rab macher. Rather, I'm sorry, but ilu begili, but in the revealed part of the person, in the heart of the person, we find different things. Sham yeshnam ritzonos ramachem. There's all kinds of different desires. Kol echad v'ratzon shlo. Every one of its different desires. And that's the problem. So he'll get more into this tomorrow. But he's saying, you know, life is not that complicated. Life doesn't, there isn't that many things really to do in life. There's really only one thing to do in life, and get close to Hashem. Now, of course, you do that, you get married, you have children, all these other things, but these other things are not different things. That's the problem. We look at these different things as different distinct pleasures not connected to Hashem. And then we have a lot of things to do in life, and it's a very busy kind of life. But if you realize that every single thing that you do in this life, it is for the one purpose of getting close to Hashem and feeling this love that Hashem has for you and vice versa, then at the end of the day, there is not that much that a person really has to do in life. There's only one thing in life, and that is everything in life. And then life becomes a little more simpler and a little more real on a constant basis. So he's going to discuss, you know, where do we have to start to get to this revealing of the soul, and pushing away the negative, superficial things that are in your heart.